Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
We are living what the Bible calls perilous times. What is perilous times? Dangerous times. It is more dangerous in the world and in America than it's ever been. We are living in perilous times. And it's not that people don't desire an answer from the White House to the State House to the schoolhouse. It's simply they don't have an answer. They do not have the answer. We are living in perilous times. We have two sources of strength for perilous times: God's Holy Spirit and God's Holy Word. If you don't access God's Spirit and God's Word, you're not going to have the ability to be victorious in these perilous times. And the best way to do that is to read yourself in the Scripture. Probably 25 years ago, I preached a sermon that's ministered to me for years. It is about the men on the Emmaus Road, and I called it Reading Yourself into the Scripture. The Scripture doesn't become effective until you insert yourself into the Bible, until you see you there. And so when we read these things, they seem to be outdated from another time. But if you're able to make them applicable to the 21st century, to 2022, it becomes phenomenally powerful in your life. In order to do that, let's look at what was happening here. It is about a city called Samaria that was under siege by a group of people called the Syrians. When we say it was under siege, was they were simply boycotting everything that came into that city. They would allow nothing to come in. It would be like suddenly if you went to HEB and they were closed all over San Antonio and there were no trucks running. It wouldn't take long for this city to be in a famine. And that's a possibility. We see clues of that occasionally. We have little problems with our energy, with our electricity, with our various supply chains. We see that. That could happen in America. It's called a famine. That was happening because of the Syrians. They hated the Samaritans, and they wanted to take over that city and kill the Samaritans. And then there is the story of the four lepers that were involved in this, and they become a very important part of the story. And then, of course, there's the prophet Elisha. In order to make it applicable to our day and time, let's call Samaria the church. Let's call the Syrians the devil, the world, or the terrorist. They were the terrorist of the Old Testament. Elisha, of course, is the prophet. But the four lepers were very important people in this story. They were you and me. They were the people that were involved in the solution. Ladies and gentlemen, we are not the problem. We are the solution because we have found what the world does not know. Let's talk about the siege. The Syrians, the terrorists, the devil, the world, the enemy of Samaria. Their plan was to starve out the Samaritans, literally starve them to death. That's the same plan the devil has for the church today, is to starve the church to death. And in some cases, he's doing very good at it. Because when we talk about starvation, we're not talking about bread. You should not live by bread alone. We're talking about the Word of God. And the truth is, I'm saddened to make this commentary, but when I watch Christian television, I hear a lot of preaching, but I don't hear the real Word of God. I heard a preacher, he has a worldwide broadcast, and his main theme was talking about cheating on college exams. Well, I can tell you that is a very bad thing to do, but that's not the problem of this world. The problem of this world is they don't know the Word of God, because it is the Word of God that will save this world. He should have been preaching something important. Much preaching is like the old cliche, arranging chairs on the deck of the Titanic while they're striking the iceberg. The Bible called it much words, but never coming to the knowledge of truth. Tinkling cymbal and sounding brass, the Bible calls it. Itching ears, the Bible talks about. There's a real drought in the church today, and that is that they're not hearing the Word of God. because the Word of God will change people's lives. I don't care what's wrong with you, whether it's physical, spiritually, psychologically, whatever the problem is. If you hear the Word of God and you become a receiver and not just a hearer, and a doer, not just a, it will change your life for the good. It will dramatically deliver you. If you're bipolar, the Word of God can heal you. If you've got cancer, the Word of God can heal you. If you've got spiritual problems, the Word of God can liberate you. To learn to feed on the Word of God, and that means coming to a Bible-believing church. Not just one that is philosophically Christian, but one that believes the Word of God is literal. That the Word of God is supernatural. By the preaching of the Word of God, he said, I have chosen to save people. Preaching of the Word of God is supernatural. And there's so little preaching going on. It's not quite the same to be conversational. Many churches today, they've done away with preaching, and they'll have two or three people sitting on a platform, and they're in chairs, and they're having a conversation. And they're just, that's not the same as preaching the Word of God. He chose preaching. He didn't choose panels. He didn't choose conversation. He chose the preaching of the Word of God. And so there was a famine in Samaria, and there is a famine today in the church of the living God. That's the siege of the enemy, is to have people to gather together. Number one, he doesn't want you to gather. But if you gather, he certainly does not want you to hear the Word of God. I'm amazed at all kinds of things that people are doing to get people to come to church. Well, if you just gather them and they don't hear the Word of God, it was an exercise in futility. They were not changed at all. They're just exactly like they were if the Word of God has not gone forth. And so the famine, the severity of the famine in Samaria was unbelievable. I don't know what the time frame was, how long this famine had gone on, but we do see how expensive it became. A donkey's head was bringing $80, and all a donkey's head was the skull with a little meat still attached to it, and they would boil that and make a soup out of it. It was nasty. And worse than that, a cab of dog's dung was bringing $5. Now, if you look at the commentary, they will tell you that dove's dung was a plant. There's not one shred of evidence. It's just that that's so repulsive that the commentators have decided they will take it from dove's manure and make it a plant. That's more palatable. But why would we believe that when there's a story that was brought to the king about two women? And those two women, one of those women came to the king and she was beside herself. And the king said, what's the problem? She said, we are starving to death. And so we made an agreement that we would kill our children and eat them. And so we killed my son and became cannibals and we ate my son. But now she's hid her son and I can't kill him and eat him. That's how they were. Ladies and gentlemen, cannibalistic spirit is an amazing thing. I've read about Donner's Party going across the pass, going out west, and the cannibalism. It is just beyond comprehension when people become cannibalistic. But I see it spiritually. I see men and women sacrificing their children for fame and for money. And they will do anything to make their children famous and rich. And they are literally killing them spiritually. The same thing that's happening in the church was happening in Samaria. I'm not talking about one local church. I'm talking about the universal church. And so it's happening today. But suddenly, out of all of this, there was a man of God that stood up. And he said, things are going to change. And he gave an amazing prophecy. When a donkey's head was bringing $80 and a cab of dung was bringing $5, suddenly he stands up and he says, things are going to change. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't think there is a hope in this world from this world. The only hope for this world is for the church of the living God to become the church. We don't need to become more like the world. We need to become less like the world. We are the only one that has the answer. And as the church suffers hunger and cannibalism and doubt and hopelessness, there needs to be a prophet like Elijah and stand up. And he said, hear ye the word of the Lord. That's always the important injunction, that we hear the word of God. No matter what's going on in this world, it's got to be greater than CNN, greater than Fox, greater than a political statement. The word of God supersedes everything. Hear ye the word of the Lord, Elisha said. He said, tomorrow about this time, the best is yet to come. About this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. And when they heard this message, they were astounded. In fact, the man on whom the king leaned, the right-hand man of the king, he answered mockingly. He said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? He was mocking the prophet. And the prophet said, you will hear of it, you will see it, but you will never partake of it. There are people today that all they want to talk about is the doom of the world. The doom of the world is a real, tangible thing. But better than that, the spiritual aspect of God's church is more tangible than what the world says. Jesus gave us a promise and signed it in blood. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And so the prophet said, this is going to happen. And amazingly, it happened. And it happened in an odd sequence of events, because Samaria had expelled 4 men out of that dying city. They are in total famine. They're dying. They're destitute. They're hopeless. But even then, they found the ability to judge 4 people. And they expelled these 4 people because they were lepers outside of the city. So they're sitting outside the gate, leaning against the wall. And as they lean against that wall, they're in a dying condition. But suddenly, hope comes alive in their heart. Suddenly, faith manifests itself. Remember Samaria, a type of the church. Remember Syrians are the terrorists of the devil. Remember the lepers are us. For we were all lepers, because leprosy is a type of sin. But praise God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, we that were in the world are no longer of the world. We that were just like them have been dramatically changed. But ladies and gentlemen, it is the nominal church, the denomination, that would judge us, we that are spiritual, and say, you are fanatics. I admit to that. I am fanatic. I believe the only hope for this world is Jesus Christ. I believe I'm ahead of my time. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. That's future tense. I'm not living in the future. I'm living in the present. I've already bowed my knee to Christ. I've already confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord. But I find myself expelled from mainline religion. When I watch religion on television, it's not the same Christianity I know. It's a philosophy. It can be poetic. It can be rational, but it's not supernatural. The Christianity that I possess is a supernatural deliverance. It's better than a doctor in an operating room. It's better than a lawyer in a courtroom. It's better than money in the bank. I am now totally dependent that my God will make a way. When I turn around and look at Samaria in its famine, when I look at a dead, dry, denominational church, and religion is not what it should be in America, when I look at that, it does not dispel my faith. My faith says, yea, God will, God has, and God will do more than he's ever done. My faith that says that God is going to make a way. And suddenly these 4 lepers sit in there, and they begin to reason among themselves. We can't go back to Samaria. They will kill us. We can't sit here. We will die of starvation and leprosy. Why don't we rise up? Why don't we rise up? That's what God is calling his minority church to do, is to rise up. You cannot appease yourself by being parallel with a dead, dry, worthless church that exercises futility in their sermons and their praiseless songs. No, we cannot compromise to that. We've got to rise up and say, as we rise up, God will do something in our behalf. And the Bible Bible said they rose up in twilight. That word twilight is important. Here it signifies those few moments before complete darkness. When light is receding and darkness is encompassing the world, that's where we are. People are doing things that I had never thought they would do. Horrible things, horrendous things, things that are beyond my imagination that I used to hear old preachers preach about when I was a kid. I said, that's never going to happen. We're living in a time where they're calling good evil and evil good. We're living in the twilight. But the Bible said that the four lepers rose up at twilight. Ladies and gentlemen, I call you as the solution to San Antonio. I call God's real church the solution to America. I call God's real church the solution to the world dilemmas that we're facing now. We cannot hover in fear. We cannot cower in timidity. We must rise up and declare the name of the Lord. It's time God's people took the harps from the willows and began to sing the Lord's song. It's time you stood your ground on your job, in your school, in the marketplaces of this world and declared that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is the only hope. Jesus Christ is the only way. And ladies and gentlemen, he's depending not on Samaria. He's depending on those that are beside themselves. Those that turn the world upside down. Those that have been expelled from Samaria. But they rose up at twilight. And the Bible said Syria at twilight. The very same time they rose up twilight. Now, all of a sudden, Syria is encompassed by great fear. This great army that had besieged Samaria suddenly was overcome by fear because as those four lepers, 8 feet was all it was, just 8 little feet, and they start marching toward the camp of Syria. But God multiplied the sound of those 8 feet, and the Syrians begin to say, my God, Samaria has hired the kings of Egypt and the kings of other countries, and they've got an army larger than us. They threw down their weapons. They abandoned their places and their tents. They left their gold and their silver behind, and they fled for their lives, leaving their animals tied to the trees where they were. And here comes these four little lepers marching in, not knowing what was going to happen. But the Bible teaches us that God supernaturally sent a sound into the camp of Syria. Ladies and gentlemen, God is calling on you to do what you can do. You might not have a microphone to the world. You might not have a worldwide ministry. You might not preach to millions every day. But I tell you what you can do. You can rise up and declare the name of the Lord. You can rise up and praise like you've never praised. You can sing like you've never sung. You can pray like you've never prayed. You can influence those that are in the sphere of your influence and say, I know something that is about to happen. And suddenly they are there, those four lepers in that camp of the Syrians, and the Syrians are gone. They left behind their animals. They've left behind their gold. They've left behind their silver. But most of all, they've left behind their chitlins. They've left behind their enchiladas. They left behind their food. They were starving to death, and now they are feeding, as the Bible said, sumptuously, and they ate until they could eat no more. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, if you will read the scripture and update it to the 21st century, you'll see that's what God wants to do. God wants to feed this church until we can eat no more. He wants to feed you until you've got joy unspeakable. He wants to feed you until you're free from every bondage. He wants you to feed until you're free from every fear, until you have no more need. And suddenly they had every need met. Is that not what Christ promised us? That he would supply every need. Is this not what God promised us? That in the last days he would take the wealth of the sinner and lay it up for the just? Read yourself into the scripture. This is not our worst day. This is our best day. This is not the end. This is the beginning. Church of the living God, rise up and let God amplify what you are. He'll make you bigger than you've ever been. He'll make you stronger than you've ever been. never been. He'll give you a voice you've never had. He'll give you influence you've never known. Suddenly people will begin to pay attention to you because you are God's hands for this dying world. And as they finally sustained themselves, one of them looked at the other, and this is real Christianity, and said, "We cannot stay here while they're dying in Samaria." Remember, the Samaritans were the ones that had expelled them. They were the ones that despised them. They were the ones that hated them. But when you get God really in your heart, and when you become victorious in the Lord, you might have enemies, but you'll be nobody's enemy. You won't hate anybody. God gave them a love for the very people that had expelled them. And they said, if we stay here and continue to feed while they're starving to death in Samaria, said some great mischief will fall upon us. And that word mischief in the Hebrew, it means some great fatality. It means some great problem. It means some great disease. Something bad is going to happen to us. That's the reason why the church is in the shape it's in. Because 50 years ago, 100 years ago, we became so self-absorbed, we quit trying to evangelize the world. I don't care how the world treats you. You've got an obligation. You're fat and sassy, and they're starving to death. You know the truth, and they know error. You've got a real responsibility as a child of God. And I have that responsibility to go back. And they went back to that city and began to give them a good report. And again, they were rejected. And finally, somebody said, let's go spy out what they see and see if it's true. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the very thing that Elisha had prophesied about had come to pass. Suddenly, it's the barley and it's the fine flour and it's selling for just a fraction of what a donkey's head was selling for. Suddenly, there is plenty for everybody. Can I tell you, in this dark day, revival is coming? Can I tell you there is going to be an outpouring of God's Holy Spirit? Can I tell you that God's army is on the march? Can I tell you that God is going to make a way where there is no way? Can I tell you that God is about to do a big thing that is going to astound the unbeliever? And suddenly Samaria believes, and they come marching out of that besieged city down that lonely road, and they come to the camp Syria, and they find the gold and the silver and the food. But there was such a stampede for truth that that man that had mocked the prophet, he was working at the gate, and the Bible said that he was literally trampled in the stampede of people for going to truth. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living at the very apex of what God is about to do. There is something about to happen, but you've got a responsibility. God is calling on you. And what does that mean? That means you dismiss all of your sickness. You dismiss your leprosy. You don't talk about what you used to be. They didn't look at their hand that was being eaten away. They believed that God was going to use them. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not looking at my weakness, nor should you look at your weakness. You need to declare, I'm not a grasshopper. I am a messenger of the King, and God has risen me up for this day and this time that I might declare feast in the famine. I know there's a famine in the denominational church. I know there's a famine in the world, but there doesn't have to be a famine in Living Way Church. There doesn't have to be a famine in your house. There doesn't have to be a famine in your house and your heart. This is our best day. This is our best day. Get your faith out. Get your faith out. Wave it around and let everybody know you're a believer. I believe God is supernatural. I believe He heals me when I'm sick. I believe He makes a way where there is no way. I believe God gives me a miracle in my body when the doctor looks forlorn. I believe God puts money in my account. Oh, what God has done for me. I'm living my best life now, and the best is yet to come. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your finest hour, but you've got to grasp the truth and the promise of Almighty God. Stand on your feet and give the Lord a praise today in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're in this room today and you have fallen prey to the devil's besiegement I challenge you to walk out of your pew and say, I'm not going to live like the world. You know, when I was raised in a Pentecostal church, they talked a lot about separation. And that separation was always about exterior things. Don't look like the world. Don't dress like the world. They didn't understand that separation was not a punishment, but it was a promise. This world is being besieged, but God said, I'll separate you from them. When they're going through famine, I'll give you feasts. When they're going through curse, I'll give you blessing. When they're in lack, I'll give you abundance. When they're scraping the bottom of the barrel, your barrel will be overflowing. That's where I'm living. If you're in this room right now, and you feel like the devil has brought you. And when we talk about inflation, that's exactly what was going on. That's what a famine is. When a donkey's head brings $80, that's inflation. When you go to the grocery store and you're paying 33% more for your groceries than you did this time 2 years ago, that's a famine. That's inflation. That's where we are. I heard the bad news this morning as I listened to the television. They said there is a big recession coming. I'm not afraid because I'm not tied to Washington. I'm not tied to Austin. I'm not tied to the Republican Party. I'm not tied to the Democratic Party. My connection is in heaven, praise God, and God will make a way where there is no way. Every time there's a famine, somebody gets fat. Every time there's a depression, somebody gets rich. Every time there's an inflation, somebody succeeds. God is telling you this can be your greatest hour and your greatest moment if you'll put your confidence in the Lord and the Lord only. If you're in this building today and you've got a sickness in your body your doctor can't fix, you ought to rush to this altar and say, I'm claiming my healing in Jesus' name. If you're living in a depression and you've got anxiety in your mind and you have to go lay on a psychiatrist's couch every week or two, you ought to walk to this altar and say, God, fix my mind, heal my mind. If you